Accession number 22635, Reel 4.
Am I waffling in the...
No, not at all, Vi. This is Vi Ellison, and it's Reel 4. So, no, you were coming back to England at the end of the war, is that right?
Not quite, the VE.
VE Day, yes.
It was after that.
It was after VE Day you came back, wasn't it?
Yes.
So did you, were you in North Africa for VE Day?
I was in, in Cairo. And then we heard there was a fleet out dance in Alexandria, and so they thought we should hitch a lift across the desert road and do that, go and celebrate in Alexandria. And so that's what we did, or several of us did. And so everybody was having a good time, I think, and lots of dances and celebrations. And then we hitched back again to Cairo, and in Cairo they had a ceremony in a nearby park. I think that celebration was where the Cairo Tower is now located. But we had all these benches, and the wrens were in the front row, and so it was quite the war's over in Europe, but it wasn't over with Japan.
Yes, I suppose sort of being in your position, it sort of came home rather more that the war was continuing. Is that right? You know, being out of England.
Well, by then I was engaged to husband, who's he was an engineer officer in the Newfoundland, and it was on its way to the Pacific. So I met him in February, and the ship left Alexandria about the end of March, something like that. So they went to Australia, and from there the operations against the Japanese mainland, I think. And so I was aware of the Japanese battle still ahead. So I didn't know how long that would go on for.
I expect by then quite a lot was known about the war with Japan as well, and the nature of the Japanese fighting.
All the news seemed to be it was really ferocious, and there are lots of lives lost, and it just wasn't something you would be happy to have someone dear to you involved in. But then that was war.
But if I could ask you now about, you know, your coming back to England and demob, because you weren't demobbed until about 1947, were you?
That's right. After I married.
After you were married?
Yeah, I was demobbed. We came back through the Mediterranean, and then went through the Straits of Gibraltar, and then up the coast to we saw Land's End from the ship, and it kept on going up and past Elsa Craig, and then into Greenock, where we disembarked and went into Glasgow, and then from there we went to Rosyth, and then they sent us on leave. So I went back to Aberdeen, and a great welcome from aunts and relatives and friends, and it was nice to see them all again. And I had kept in touch with them while I was in Egypt, and my uncle had been in the First World War as well, and he had served in Egypt as well as Gallipoli, and he's been taken prisoner of war in France, so he'd been left with a weak heart, but and he died shortly afterwards in 1945. But then I went back to Rosyth and was sent to CNC's office to be in charge of a typing pool.
Whereabouts was that?
In Rosyth.
In Rosyth. And what sort of what was going on in the typing pool? Was it sort of
A lot to do with the day-to-day running of just administration, I suppose. And then when the war with Japan took place, I was there, and there really wasn't a lot of celebration then. I think they'd done most of it with the VE'd celebrations, but then I don't know what happened elsewhere. And so after that, they had boards, courts martials, and boards of inquiry, and we were involved in those, and got sixpence per word, sixpence per 100 words for that. So it seemed that's extra pay. But so I did some of those in turn with some of the others in the typing pool.
Were there many court martials and boards of inquiries?
There were some. But, what I had was the last one I did was they were investigating some thefts from a ship which was being decommissioned, and I see some radar equipment gone missing, and so they were interviewing different people, and they were I had to write down everything they said and then type out all the shorthand notes, and you attach the notes to the finished typewritten document. And these went to the people involved in conducting the inquiry. And before the next day's session, they had a chance to read through it. And they then, I think they found there was a discrepancy in the evidence of one of the people they'd been questioning. And at the end of the day, he admitted that he had taken these things. So I was hoping I'd not made a mistake, but it was verbatim, so they picked this up.
So there were quite a lot of incidents like that,
weren't
there?
Well, there were some, you see. And then I remember another occasion, I was in somewhere in an office where they were taking a lot of the German submarines were taken to Russia, and there were the German commanders were one of them with his submarine brought his submarine to Rosyth, and he came into this office, and he was obviously not very happy with the whole thing, and so he was a bit, you know, defiant perhaps.
But what about his sub being taken to Russia?
Well, being, I suppose, having to be in that position of having lost the war. So he That's the only time I came across any of the German forces. It was then, and when they were involved in moving these submarines to Russia.
So that was done with the agreement of the Royal Navy, was it?
Well, this is what they had obviously organised.
Were there many subs that went, do you know?
I don't know how many. I just know that one, which I was a witness to, it actually happening.
So you were married in what year? 1947?
Excuse me, the end of 1946, because my husband came out of the Navy in May, I think it was, 1946, and I, because I'd applied for leave to go to America, and this followed seeing a signal saying personnel who lived overseas and hadn't been home for 5 years could be given free passage and 3 months paid leave. So I put in for it because it had been 11 years since I'd left home.
For this, obviously.
Yes. So I applied. So I applied and yes, I was eligible. And so I think it was May, after May 46, I was booked to go on the Drottningholm, which was a Swedish ship. And it was really very interesting because there were so many people with so many stories of what had happened to them during the war who were on board. And so I had quite a few conversations with a lot of people. And so there were, I remember there was a Danish man, a Dane, and he had been in been a prisoner, the Germans, because he had been doing aerial photography and had been captured. Who'd been mobilised during the war in case they'd been invaded. Also, there were people from Germany who were Jewish who'd been living in England during the war, and they were now going to rejoin families they hadn't seen for over 6 years, and I just wondered how they could bear the last few days. It must be so difficult. And so they said they'd borne it for 6 years, they could wait another few days. And then there was a girl about 10 years old who'd been in Auschwitz, and she was on her way to rejoin family, and so many like that. It was a ship full of stories, and some of them very sad.
What was the name of the ship again?
The Drottningholm. D R O T T E N I N G H O L M. I think that's how you spell it. Drottningholm. H-O-L-M. But it was a ship full of friendly people, you know, and all anxious, you know, looking forward to their new lives ahead, now that the past was really behind and they were on their way. So
how about your own attitude, you know, to America? Did you want to go back there after?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I was looking forward to seeing my parents again, and my mother especially.
But did you want to go back to live?
Well, it wasn't going to happen, really, I don't think, because I was going to marry Philip, and we wanted to see the world.
So I suppose it was a wonderful reunion with your mother, was it, after 11 years?
Yes, when we eventually landed, it seemed to take ages, we reached New York, and I was just thinking how I was going to travel to New Jersey, which is where they were living then. And when I came off the ship, I heard a voice calling my name. And there they were. And they were there. Yeah, great welcome. It was really something. So, and I think my mother was quite delighted to... I was wearing the uniform. She quite liked me to wear it when I went out with her.
So but you were demobbed in 1947, were you? No, moving on with your story.
Well, I was still in America. Mm. The Missouri was anchored in the Hudson River, and any service people could go to the front of the queue to go on board. So there I was, and I put on the uniform and went up to New York from New Jersey, and got to the front of the queue, went on this type of motorboat with others onto the ship, and did a tour around it and talked to some of the crew. And I took a photograph of there was a plaque on the deck which said, "On this spot, MacArthur signed the end of the war, the documents ending the war with Japan." And also just different shots of other parts of it. So that one, the plaque, I had it enlarged and framed and presented it to the Naval Museum in Portsmouth. So they said they would like to have it. So what they've done with it, I don't know. Liverpool on the other, it's the Newfoundland.
Your husband's ship was torpedoed?
Twice, two ships. The Liverpool was in one of the Malta convoys, the one before the famous one. It was in July 42, I think it was. And so they managed to get the ship back to Gibraltar, and so they were working flat out, but it hit one of the engine rooms, and he was in the opposite engine room. And
your husband?
Yeah, so the ones in where it hit, they were all killed, but he wasn't. So but
yeah. So your demob was 47, was it, Vi? You were demobbed in England. Yes. When you look back at the war and the role you did in the Wrens, did it have a big effect on your life, being in the Wrens?
Well, it changed it completely, because I'd have gone back to America, and I don't know what the future would have been there, because it didn't happen. So it's been completely different, but we've lived in New Zealand, Singapore, Venezuela, back to Egypt again, where Miranda was born, and so it's been a very interesting time altogether.
As well as the sort of difference it made to your, living locations, do you think it made a difference to you as a woman? Did it alter your expectations at all, being in the war, the opportunities that you were given?
Well, I don't know if I'd looked very far ahead. I was just thinking it would be nice to see the world, just for instance, again, and how that was to be accomplished, I hadn't worked out. And though I don't think you'd ever see everything, you can still have something left to sort of yearn for or plan for, hope for.
Do you think recognition has been given to the women in World War II sufficiently?
Well, it seems to be. And hopefully, yes.
And the VINs compared with other women's services, do you think there's a difference in the way they're viewed, the VINs?
I don't know. I just don't know. I think the VINs were always popular. I can't say about the others.
But well, I thank you very much indeed for telling me so much about your World War II experiences. It has been very interesting.
Yeah.
Very varied experience.
Well, it's nice to be interviewed by you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention, and I really shouldn't have forgotten, my last leave in Egypt was when I went to Luxor on a tour, because the antiquities down there were now open. And so on the tour were some other people, one of whom became my husband. And he was on the HMS Newfoundland, which was in Alexandria Harbour on its way to the Far East. So they were allowed leave and he was there. So we found lots in common, and it was a very enjoyable type of relationship which was developing. And after 8 days he asked me if I would marry him, and so I said yes. So that was the beginning of a very wonderful time, and we were married for 46 and a half years before.
If you feel happier.
Yes, I am.
Right.
If you
feel it's going to, you see, I've got the machine on, Vi.
Yeah.
That's rubbing that off.
Thank you. Because Miranda's she gets upset still, you know, and though it was 1993.
Yeah.
And they all do. They don't want to even, some of them, as soon as you...